JG3
Number 11B.
So to go forward here, after we we see then, for as I just repeat what we said from the other side, that therefore, as we've just seen then, that that principle, yes, we were talking before we stopped the tape, that our the struggle is with our in our life. Will we succeed? So we say, oh gee, we sit back and see that our life itself is included within that principle itself. That right within the principle of being, in that matrix of infinity, is the ideal form of our life. And that ideal form of our life is actually therefore going to be expressed. And it's going to be expressed, therefore, we don't have to be concerned about it. It's going to come out of that matrix of infinity. It's not going to get lost in that matrix of infinity. It's not going to get sucked up into that undifferentiated whole, so it never gets to express itself. It just is there. We see, we know that we have an individual expression, because science isn't mysticism, and science says that the infinite one has many infinite individualities. So somehow we're already know that. So we see, out of the womb of principle itself, our real father, mother, we spring forth into the universe of God through that operation of principle. It kicks us forth out of its own origin, out of the whole of principle itself, through the whole channel of principle itself. The outcome is always will be as the whole principle itself, and we're coming forth as the universal glory of the principle itself, as a universal blessing of the universe of principle itself, as a unique universal blessing within the realm of principle itself. Principle wanted us, principle needs us, principle needs us as a unique expression. So therefore we are coming forth through the impulsion of life at Absolute Christian Science, through that law of life, the law of the divine urge, the law of the divine impulsion. We know now that it's kicking us forth spontaneously. We don't have to wait for our life to come forth. It immediately comes forth out of divine origin. And when it comes forth, it comes forth in its right form, truth, and it comes forth already perfect. When our life comes forth into the universe and infinitely individualized and adapted to a specific situation, the moment it comes forth, it always comes forth in its right form and in the plan it's for. It comes forth as a success. We would not come forth if we bring our success with us. We don't have to worry whether we'd be a success or not. The success comes with us. It's just a question, as we see, do we accept it or not? It's an attitude. And that's the only responsibility man has, is Christianity, is to accept the principle. And therefore, with these laws, we begin to see the attitude we take is say, gee, I came forth, like Descartes says, I think, therefore I am. We take it higher and says, I've come forth, I'm in my right form, and I'm already here for the plan I came. That's our attitude we should have every day, shouldn't it? Be this law of the word on Absolute Christian Science. We are a success. So we come now to the Christ at Absolute Christian Science, and it gives a little bit more information on our identity that is a success, just more truth content, as Popper says, that we just need a little bit more information to consciousness to convince us that our life is programmed for success. So therefore, we go over to the Christ at Absolute Christian Science, and we see that the ellipses around the arrow, the relationship, the process. What is the process that makes our life a universal blessing, a success here? And we say, oh, well, we see then it's this law of, the law of individualization, the law of specific specification. that will see that I am the comforter, I am a universal blessing to all mankind, each one of us. So therefore we see that our life, therefore, which has come forth out of divine origin, a life, which is a fact, truth, and love, in what we see there, that on the word, that it's a cord. It's life, truth, and love. The accentuation is on life, the word, that we come forth, that's the point, as a fact and fulfilled. Now on Absolute Christian Science, at the point of the Christ, the accentuation is on the Christ truth. That's that channel, the through itself, as we know from the higher levels. Therefore, out of being, that which has come forth as a fact and fulfilled is now the ideal truth. The accentuation is on truth. It's a cord, which is infinitely individualized and adapted to a specific situation. So we have then here our point of our being then, that our life, therefore, at the point of truth, that we are that ideal of being. You can see why that's there. We are our whole, the whole. We're always the whole. So we take the standpoint about why our life is a success, because it's a whole ideal of being. We reflect all of God in quality. We have all the qualities of God. We came forth with all the qualities of God. And therefore, all those qualities of God are infinitely individualized and adapted to a specific situation. So we are therefore the whole truth, which is infinitely individualized and adapted to a specific situation. That's what our life is. Therefore, we are that whole ideal, Christ consciousness, which appears as an individual Christ consciousness, which is the comforter or a universal blessing. All of us are. And we must claim our rightful heritage. And our rightful heritage is science itself. That's our father, mother, womb. We take the universe back to science itself, the womb. We take all of the earth back to its origin, the matrix of infinity on science itself. We take all mankind back to the origin. We take our family back. All the children, all the husband, everything we give back to the original father, mother, principle, God on the level of science itself, and see that is our origin, and therefore that father, mother willed us, it wanted us, it brought us into being out of itself, through itself, as itself, and for itself. Everyone has come forth as a fact and fulfilled. We're all infinitely individualized and adapted to a specific situation. In and of spirit, here and now, whether we see our friends or not, some are here, some have gone on, we can, through one mind, embrace the universe. That's why practice is such that if we have people who have departed and we're concerned about them, we're a universal blessing. Our consciousness touches the universe, it shows at divine science, not just earth. You see, we are a universal blessing. And so we can see there that through the one mind, which is God, knows no time or space. I'm always impressed in that chapter of Christian Science versus Spiritualism, where she says spiritualism is mainly erroneous, meaning that good thoughts, if we go out from the divine mind and see there's only one mind on the level of science itself, and that mind sees the world as God sees the world, and we're all of that one mind, there doesn't know a here or there. And so if we have loved ones who have gone on and we're concerned and we're wondering, I wonder what they're doing right now, all this thing, we just can see, as Mrs. Eddy said, spiritualism is mainly erroneous. And the mainly is there's no communication between various minds, many, and virtual reality. If I'm in my virtual reality realm and you're in your virtual reality realm and we're asleep in mortal mind, Mrs. Eddy says, there's like dreamers side by side. There's no communication. But in and of the realm of spirit, in and of the one mind, she says that the good we know, everyone knows. There's only one mind. And you see how big our practice is? It's universal. And it's local. But we must always see first it's universal. And therefore we give the whole universe a treatment with our work, which has its local impact. But to just do little local impact, we realized was too small. We saw that that was being a specialist, and that was being too small. So therefore, we see that our whole identity has come forth as the ideal Christ consciousness that is at this law, individual Christ consciousness, which is a universal comforter. We have come forth to be that universal comforter adapted to a specific situation. And that's just what our identity is. And we claim it as our identity from our Father, Mother, God, the womb of the matrix of infinity. It's just what we are. It's what Jesus knew. He says, I'm in it, but I'm not of it. He never forgot his origin, which was God. Why he could do what he could do and why we can do the same. So we see then that how big the idea is. And so we go on then to absolute Christianity, at absolute Christian science. And we say, well, then this is the law of eternalization, the law of self-maintenance, and now we put ourselves, you see, truth isn't there. I could ask why, but I'll let you work with that one. I'll just talk about it because it's just method. And we'll say, why is truth not there? We have life and love, but no truth. Would we know? So far a combination of life, truth, and love, and we saw we needed the life, truth, and love on this level. Ellen?
Well, truth in this case represents man.
Okay.
Or mankind.
All right.
That is not a capital, that is not God.
Well, it's good, but it does fit here because it's a level of absolute Christian science. So yeah. Your accentuation is right. It's absolutely right. That this is man, right? And it's man is a calculus of ideas, right? We're dealing with ideas. That's correct. And so therefore, because that's a correct answer, and man is represented by what in the days of creation? What tone? Truth. All right. So we know man is the image and likeness of God, that truth consciousness. Then what's happening in this law? What is the name of the law? The law of? Just read. What is it? It's a law of? All right. So what's? So the focus is on what? Ideas on man? Are on the father and mother of that man. So it doesn't need to have that symbol there. The focus just is on the calculus of ideas. It's understood, represented by the synonymous term truth, isn't it? So now it says, all right, at this point we take that ideal idea that has come forth, that Christ consciousness that we are infinitely individualized and adapted to a specific situation as the universal blessing that we all are. And then we say, will that be maintained, our universal blessing, as a universal blessing? Or will it be lost, you see? And we still have these fears maybe coming in, or maybe we just are polishing, saying yes. That our whole ideal, that we are that ideal, infinitely individualized and adapted to a specific situation, it's maintained because life, the Father, is always maintaining, and love, the Mother, is cherishing, isn't it? So all of these ideas under life have fathering sense of life. We couldn't use just any ideas under life, can we? They need the tonality of Christianity at absolute Christian science for what we say under life. We wouldn't talk about any sense of overcoming death there, would we? It's not the tonality. Or of love, we wouldn't talk about full compensation there, or promotes. At this point, what we're interested in is the fatherhood sense of life, the idea. So therefore, as that ideal idea, which is infinitely individualized and adapted to a specific situation, then life is fathering us and love is cherishing us in this law of eternalization and maintenance. So we're always being maintained. Are we always being maintained by the Father, by the, looking that, oh, gee, now I have an eternal benefactor. Somewhere I'm going to make a windfall. Is that what we want? No. What is, of what? Ideas. Huh? Do you see, life has always given us ideas, isn't it? And we see that that's a hard currency, isn't it, Ellen, huh? So life is giving us, therefore, out of the infinite well of life, what, Ellen, is life giving us? Well-being. Well, just well-being? It's not, is that big enough? Are we happy that we just say, oh, gee, life is giving us well-being? All right, so what is everything? It's giving us the infinite abundance of ideas and ideas of mind, all the ideas of spirit, all the ideas of soul, all the ideas of principle, life, truth, and love. Out of the infinite well of life, life is providing us with the infinite abundance of all the ideas of mind. That's all we want. That's hard currency. All the ideas of spirit, all the ideas of soul, all the ideas of principle, all the ideas of life, truth, and love. It's just pouring forth constantly to us, and that's providing for us. That's what we need. And love is cherishing those ideas, aren't they? In the sense that love never loses sight of loveliness. Therefore, we can never lose the abundance of the ideas of mind. Mind never loses sight of mind. We can never lose the abundance of the ideas of spirit. Spirit never loses sight of spirit. We can never lose the abundance of soul because soul never loses sight of soul. We can never lose the abundance of the ideas of principle, life, truth, and love because principle, life, truth, and love never lose sight of principle, life, truth, and love. So we feel that we'll never lose sight of our being fathered and mothered, do we? That those ideas that are coming forth are always the whole abundance of God, all those ideas, and they're always maintained in consciousness. Therefore, we're always maintained, aren't we? And therefore, we say to ourselves, that's wonderful. And then we go on to the standpoint of the law of science on the level of absolute Christian science, always asking us more information, giving us more truth content that will make us see that this is a scientific truth within the whole structure of being. Then we say, well, that's good to know that that infinite life is always supplying us out of the infinite well of life, the infinite abundance of life, and that love is always seeing that life never loses sight of loveliness. We never will lose these ideas. They're constantly being cherished within our consciousness. Then that law of science on the level of absolute Christian science, that law of pre-stabilized perfection, or that law of pre-established harmony, has its ellipse around what? The feedback. So therefore we see, therefore, well, it feeds back to the word and just says, that's right, word, you were right, when it says that my life came forth as a divine success. Because I'm the ideal Christ consciousness, infinitely individualized to a specific situation as a universal blessing. And that's all I want. It's not what men call great, but it's what God calls good. All I want to do is be able to be, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and let your good works shine before man. I don't want to be a big shot. I just want to be able to do what I have to do well. And say, therefore, we can see that wellness, that universal blessing that we are is always maintained. It's always cared for. And therefore, this law says that's right. And I'm always, the work that I have to do is done. Being a universal blessing is done. You see, the work, truth, is already done. The whole ideal is complete. And it just feeds back saying that that was right with the word brought forth. It's just a verification that the work is done from pre-established perfection, that our ideal job within the universe is a universal blessing existed as a fact in pre-established perfection. And that we came forth just to show forth that which was already a fact and already fulfilled in being. You see how we can't miss the mark. And again, it's just an attitude of consciousness to accept it, you see, to accept our divine heritage. Naturally, now we know if we accept it, then on this level, she says it's a present possibility that the cessation of death, sorrow, and pain is a present possibility to the level of absolute Christian science. But in the central ages, she says it's difficult to accept it. And sensual meaning the struggle with duality in whatever. The warfare with oneself is grand, huh? Always the fighting between good and evil, right and wrong, that goes on, huh? Letting the senses tell us what is real, going out from the effect and not to reasoning from effect and not to cause. That keeps us from seeing that the cessation of death is because we're always believe it's life in and of matter. The sickness goes on because we're always giving body reports, aren't we? How are you today? Well, let's see. And then come the body reports, just as fluently as the weather report, don't they? So we can see, therefore, that that's why she says, in this age, it's hard because we go out from sense testimony. And until we stop going out from effect to cause and reasoning from sense testimony to cause, we won't get to experience the reality pattern. And if we did go out from and see the world as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love sees the world, then we would see the cessation of death, sorrow, and pain within ourselves. You see? It's an attitude, it's a state of consciousness, and that's why on this particular level is where we show, therefore it's that dual conceptual logic, and you know I didn't bring it with me, but you know that illustration I like to show of the one image where you either see the young girl or old woman. It's just a question of perception. And so, and we saw an illusion was just a pattern capable of reverse. Either we see it through the reversed image, or we see the real image. It's a crisis of perception. But on this level, if we stay with the fact that our life has come forth as a success, the word is absolute Christian science, and we are that infinitely individual Christ consciousness as a universal blessing, the absolute Christian science, which is being maintained by life and cared for by love, and anyhow, this we're in our pre-established realm of perfection. The work is done, and if that's our attitude, always working within the law of science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and that's the right foot that holds down any sense of wrong perception, isn't it? We can't perceive the world wrong if we go out from that standpoint. But if we do, then comes the level of Christian science to correct it, doesn't it? So now we go on to the level of Christian science. And there, as we so rightly said together, that on that level, it takes on another phenomenon. And as Dave said, that now we can see why mind, spirit, and soul show up. And the accentuation is on mind, spirit, and soul. The word at Christian science as principle, life, truth, and love. Then the Christ at Christian science, we see principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind. Then Christianity at Christian science, we see principle, mind, soul, spirit. Life, truth, and love. And then at science, at Christian science, we see soul, spirit, mind again. So the combination of mind, spirit, soul, spirit, mind, soul, spirit, and soul, spirit, mind are the main point of this level. And the power, the dynamic power behind what we say is always principle, life, truth, and love, giving the power of expression behind what mind, spirit, soul is doing on this level. So as we look at the law of the word order, therefore as found on page 4D8 in the study aid, again we maintain the principle all the way down. See, we saw that we never left that standpoint of principle, did we? It's that one infinite principle on the level of science itself, which is its own infinite principle, which is that principle here, that operates principle, which is the principle as life, truth, and love impelling our life forward as a success, which is now the principle that's going to make our life a success in spite of the claim against us, and it's going to show us how our life unfolds now in an orderly way to overcome the belief that within consciousness that our life isn't a success. If we have slipped and looked, appears that we are looking at the pattern in reverse. So from the principle of being, the correction of our consciousness is never to go out from sense testimony, she says, that won't do it. We don't go out from the 2 plus 2 equals 5. We go back to the 2 plus 2 equals 4. We stay with our principle here. So we see principle, the whole word sense of principle, principle, principle. Now, principle at the word appears as its nature as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. In order to take that identity which we are, let's say that we are that infinite idea in the womb of principle itself, on the level of science itself, our identity came out of that principle, out of the whole of principle. It came through the whole of principle. Our identity is as the whole of principle, for the glory of the whole of principle. And we saw more details that, yes, of course, we're the glory of principle because our life came forth as a complete success, as the individual universal blessing that's always maintained and always cared for in the plan of love. And now, in an orderly way, it shows how that identity is brought forth according to the law of creativity to handle any belief that anything is going on besides that. So first of all, we discuss how our identity, because we're discussing our identity, which is programmed in success, comes forth as an idea in mind through the development of spirit, through the identity of soul, as a demonstration of principle, which is life, truth, and love. Overcoming the belief that we are of a mortal mind, or that we are of matter, or that we are of a mind in a matter body, governed by personal opinions, personal theories, personal organizations. That is just the belief that we were born in matter, live in matter, grow old in matter, or die out of matter, that we have a mortal consciousness is overcome, and the belief of imperfection. That mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love handles through its law of opposites any claim against our identity being programmed for success.